These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I also send them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the Father which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. This is concludes what they call the Upper Room Discourse, and this particular chapter, some people also call it the farewell discourse, and he has spoken to the disciples, just them. They had a little time with him, and now he prays. And notice the objective of his prayers. So he starts off and he just talks about his ministry, what he's supposed to done, what God has entrusted him with. And he's basically saying, okay, Lord, I've been faithful to that. I've kept each one of these. I've kept your word. Now it's the time to be glorified. Now, that part, just keep that in your mind until we come to Tuesday. And you'll understand a little bit more of the whole idea of glorifying himself when Jesus is risen from the dead at the tomb. And you'll get this really beautiful picture of how that really manifests. So again, or I'm giving you a little feeler. I know fast is over, on Saturday. But Tuesday, you'll see the fullness of what this means as I put these two passages together. It's actually quite awesome. So he says, okay, now, and he says something interesting. Glorify thou me together with thyself, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And so again, John is highlighting, Jesus is highlighting, he's making note of his deity again. In the midst of his humanity, in the midst of his subordination to the Father, he's also making note of his deity. And remember, going all the way back to Genesis, remember, it's plural that's happening there. He says, let us make man in our own image. And so Jesus is making a nod to that time back then when he was glorified. And so he basically gave up glory to come and be with us, Emmanuel. And you get a sense of really the great loss of the Lord in this regard. I want to even suggest to you that I know in this passage we don't get any of the garden scene. And actually, I'm going to talk a little bit about that this coming Sunday. But the garden scene where he says, "Man, I'm in anguish, you know, even to the point of death," and he's really drawing this out. I want to suggest to you that the Lord Jesus, and it's very natural for us to think that when he goes to the cross, he's talking about the agony of the cross. I don't think so. I'm obviously there's a part of that. But in part of this prayer, as we're seeing this narrative draw out, that he was always with the Father. From the beginning of the foundation of the world, they were always together. He is sent here, and they're always together. He keeps saying the idea of indwelling, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on in this chapter, but a really strong sense of the indwelling presence of God. God is in the Son is in the Father and Son are in the believers, and Jesus is in the believers. And the second half of this is really talking a lot about the indwelling presence of the Lord in our life, that he really dwells in us, and I'll get more of that later on. But he says, glorify me. And so I want to suggest to you, when Jesus was in the garden, what was causing him the greatest anguish besides the cross was that, you know, and this is one of those mysteries that in our rational minds we'll never understand. But when sin comes upon the Lord on the cross, he becomes separated from God. Remember, God cannot look at sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "Him who knew no sin became sin." And so all the consequences of sin, all of our evil acts, past, present, future, all are pressed on him in the cross. And then that's why, if you read the narrative, darkness fills the earth. It's like back in Genesis, the earth was formless and void. Why? Because rebellion happened in heaven. Lucifer fell at that time. And so darkness comes over the earth, and the Father and the Spirit withdraw from the Son. And I want to suggest to you, because remember, that's part of his glory. That's part of who he is. And on the cross, and that's what he's anguished about. That's what he's looking forward. And it's the first time in the beyond time. I mean, that's why we can't really understand this. Beyond time. And the Father and the Spirit, these three that are always together now because of sin, because of our sin. He was pierced for our iniquities, right? He was crushed for our transgressions. The chastening, you know, basically punishment of the Lord was cast upon him. That's Isaiah, the passage of the suffering servant. And so he begins to take this note. Okay, now God, it's like, it's time to be glorified. It's time to come back into that place. And he says, I did everything you asked me to do. Now it's time. It's time for the cross, but then it's also time for resurrection and the glory. And again, when we get to chapter 20, you'll really understand what I mean by this more so. And then he turns, and now he prays now for his followers, his disciples. Because he's going now, he knows that, but they're going to be left there. And you know, very well-known passage, Lord, they're still in the world, but they're not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. And if we as people that live on this planet, if we can really understand that, I mean, really grab a hold of that, not just in our mind, but in our spirit. I mean, just really recognize, yes, I live in this world. And so I'm aware of this world. I'm involved in this world. You know, there was a movement in the church years ago that I think really created quite a bit of damage, I would say. I mean, just looking at the breadth of church history. And that there was the monastic movement. And in the beginning, it was great, you know. Contemplative prayer, hearing from God, worship, all those things. But then they took it a whole nother level, and they just felt kind of like the Pharisees, that the world was evil. We just need to get out of the world. Jesus is coming back. We just need to get ready for that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so the church, for parts of the time, actually removed themselves from the world. There was, kind of the great movement in the 70s. Now, I'm speaking particularly in the United States. And in the 70s, there was another movement, and it was the dispensational movement started taking off. And and basically what happened was, basically people said, you know, Jesus is coming back. The world is going to go to hell, so the hell with the world. So let's just huddle as Christians and do our own thing. And unfortunately, we lost our voice in the marketplace. We lost our voice in government. We lost our voice in education and higher education. And what we are seeing right now in the United States of America is really a reflection of what happened in the 70s through, and I'm not blaming a seminary or a thinking, but or a denomination or anything like that. But it's really a thinking that came into the world. You know, the whole idea of rapture and all these things, and it just really scared people. And we just thought, okay, we just need to huddle and get away. We saw a little bit of that during Y2K. I think you guys were born then, right? You guys should have been born then. I was confused. Yeah, you guys were born then. And man, it was really something. And people were going up to the hills, and they were told by Bible teachers to, you know, pack up your bags and get food and water and go live in the mountains, and because the world is going to collapse and all these things. And for the most part, you know, in times of trouble, the church has abandoned the world. And we're not supposed to. We're in the world. We are here to serve the world. We're here to bless the world. You know, listen, you're not just here to serve the church. Just inside these walls, you're here to serve the world. You're here to be a blessing. Don't let your light be hidden under a peck measure, under the bed. And so but the other side is we are not of this world. We have different values. We have a different mindset. We have a different God that we answer to. And it's really like this, going back to kind of one of our church values. It's really this radical middle that you find yourself in. I'm in this world. I'm aware of this world. We used to have a saying in seminary, and every once in a while, you know, we'd meet somebody, and they are so spiritual. I mean, just so spiritual, but not to their own good. And they're basically up in heaven all the time. And so we used to have this saying amongst our friends. And you know, I know it sounds really mean now, you know, when you're a young seminarian, and we should just say, man, that person's no earthly good, right? That person's just no earthly good. That guy's just in heaven all the time. And, but man, he's like of no use here on earth. And I think there's a bit of truth to that. And there's this radical middle that we are in the world, but we are not of this world. We are earthly good, but our citizenship is in heaven. You know what I mean? And so as it pertains to your work, be wise as serpents and be gentle as doves. I mean, talk about radical middle, huh? Right? Be wise as serpents and be gentle as doves. And it's the same kind of aspect for us to really, we live here. We're aware of what's going on. We are integrated into society. We are involved in the marketplace, in education, in entertainment, in all different aspects. Now, I know there's the whole seven mountains and seven spheres mandate and whatnot. You know, this is just my own take, okay? And so it may be different than you. It's okay. We can all have different opinions. But I don't necessarily think that God sends us into those places that we can, like, get to the top of the pinnacle and then we have influence. You know, I don't really see Jesus doing that in the Bible. I don't see Jesus saying, you need to be the CEO. You know, and you need to reach a great place of prominence, and then I could use you. I always see Jesus saying things like, be faithful in the little things, and then I'll entrust you with much. And there seems to be sometimes in the Seven Mountains mandate and all these things, I mean, I believe in it, and I believe that's our place. But I think that as people just are striving to get to the top of the mountain, that they're forgetting their mission and their vision doing that. And a lot of people feel like, once I get there, then I can be influential. No. Jesus always chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things to shame the strong. You know, and so maybe it's a topsy-turvy, you know, it's an upside down. That's the kingdom of God, it's an upside down kingdom. And things, and I'm not saying, I mean, you should excel. You know, you should do your best and all these things. You know, but the reality is only 1% are going to get to the top of that mountain. And just because you're not there doesn't mean you're not effective. You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, and sometimes that turns into like a dominion theology, which is not all that healthy. And so I just want to just kind of give us a balance in all these things. And just our heart to, Lord, we're in the world, we're not of the world. And the reason why we can do that is because he says that he sends us into that place. You know, and he asks us to be faithful. You know, I yesterday went to Alpha, had a really kind of a nice meeting, and they invited Sandy Miller. If you guys know, he was the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton when they started Alpha. And he was there, and he's, you know, 87 years old, a gentleman, really prophetic. I had him pray for me. It was awesome. I was crying. It was really felt the Holy Spirit. And he was talking about Alpha. And it was registered me because I actually emailed all the Alpha leaders afterwards. And he said, you know, the first time they did Alpha, and they went out and they thought, and this is before it was Alpha, but they had a name. And you know how many people they had? One. One person showed up. So his wife would make tea, and he would just sit down and go through the discussions. Next season, 25 people showed up. And he just kept growing and growing and growing. And he was saying something. He said, the first season of Alpha, that when you do it as a church, it's really exciting because the church really gets involved. You know, like a lot of the, like, unsure believers sign up and, you know, volunteers and excitement. He says always the second season is always worse than the first season. And then the third season is always worse than the second season. Or, you know, and he's just talking about these aspects. But then you have to just continue to be faithful. It's hard work, and you have to keep doing it. And then you reach a critical mass. I mean, that's my words. He says something else. Critical mass when the total pagan comes to the Lord, and then he brings his friends. And that's when it starts erupting. And so I was relating to my group, and the whole time I was sitting there, and I was praying, I was thinking, what's he talking about? And it's really a great picture, especially this idea of in the world and of the world. He's basically saying, brothers and sisters, the issue is not to be successful, right? The issue is not for us to be successful. The issue for us is to be faithful. Leave success up to the Lord. And because there's so many different definitions of success. You know, all you do is read Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11, the Great Hall of Faith. You know, some conquered kingdoms, shut the mouths of lions, raise their dead, you know, all that stuff. Other people in the Hall of Faith were tortured, sawn in two, shipwrecked, and God called them successful. You know, if I was your pastor and I became homeless all of a sudden through a series of events, you would think I'm a loser. I mean, honestly, right? You would think, oh, God is punished. God, he doesn't have the favor of the Lord. Read Hebrews chapter 11. They were homeless, and that was their merit of faith. And so it gives us a whole different way to look at success. And what Sandy was saying, and what I really, you know, took from that is, let's not be so interested in success. Remember, even in Corinthians, Paul, he says, man, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God that was causing the growth. And so let's just us focus on being faithful. Being faithful with everything that God entrusts us with. Being faithful with our work. Being faithful with our time, being faithful with our finances, being faithful with our family. And if we walk in that faithfulness, if we're faithful in a little thing, you know, whatever you have in mind, it's not going to come their way. The last thing, and this is actually one of my favorite parts of this prayer. In fact, it is my favorite part. Again, I talked about the indwelling and the Father and the Son, 21, that they may be one, even as thou. Father, you're in me, and I in you. Father and the Son, Son and the Father, that they may also be in us. So Father and Son in us, in the believers. Then verse 23, and I in them. So now the Son in us, and thou, Father, in the Son. I know it's a little confusing. That they may be perfected in unity. And then in verse 26, I have made that name known to them, that I'll make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them, and the Son in the believers again. But notice that prayer. So we see the beauty of the indwelling nature of God, that God, the Father and the Son, the Spirit, want to indwell us. They don't just want to hang around us. You know what I mean? They don't just want to be with us. They're inside of us. And then, this is the powerful part of the prayer, and you have to catch this. He says here, the verse 26, that the love wherewith you love me may be in them. How much can you love God? I said it on Sunday. You can get as close to God as you want to get. How deep for your love for God can you get? How much, I should ask it this way, how much did the Father love the Son? How much did the Father love the Son? A lot. Okay, a lot. All through the text, the Father loved the Son. The Father was proud of the Son before the Son did anything. He approved of the Son. He was so full of love for his Son. And Jesus says, he says, catch it, not my love. You know, human love is limited. We primarily operate in phileo and usually in eros. Eros, you know, a particular meaning that I love you because you do something for me. I mean, let's be really honest, okay? You know, I love you because you're rich. I love you because you're good looking. I love you because you got connections. I love you because you work at this place and I can get some advantage through that. I love you because of all these things. That's eros. But God, his agape love, unconditional love. Because I love you, you have value. Instead of, because you have value, I love you. That's the difference between eros and agape. And so, when you look at it this way, he says, Father, the love that you have for me, in other words, your pure love, not our tainted, conditional, human love. Lord, your pure love, and this is his final prayer to us. He says, put it in them. Put it in them. Right? Your pure love, the God that you love me, that Jesus saying that you love me, the pure love that you love me with, Lord, put it in them. Put it in them, God. That love that's unconditional, that's love that's so proud, that love that's so beautiful, that's not tainted by our own sin, that pure, perfect love. Put it in them. And then for added measure, and me too, put me in them as well. Right? And so we get all the love that the Father has for the Son. And Jesus' final prayer with his disciples, he said, Lord, put that love in them. Not their love, not their fickle love, but the love that you have for the Son. That's his prayer. It's like heart cry, his last words of his prayer. Lord, put that love in them. Have you ever, husbands and wives, have you ever asked God, said, Lord, let me love my wife the way that you love her? Have you ever prayed that prayer? That originates from here. You can do it. You can love that person the way God loves that person because God put that capacity inside of us. That's Jesus' prayer. Love, the love that you have for the Son, put it in them. Have you ever prayed for someone, your loved ones, and you said, God, let me love them with your love. Let me love them like the way you love them. That's exactly what Jesus was praying. He anticipated that one day you would be so moved in your spirit that you would pray that type of prayer. And Jesus already made a way. He said, Father, the love that you have for the Son, put it in them. And I in them as well. That he's going to dwell in us. Brothers and sisters, you, me. I know it seems unbelievable, but you have an incredible capacity to love. See, loving our enemies, man, that's really, really tough. I mean, it's really tough. Trust me, even, you know, these days I've been really conflicted. And I mean, this, I know this sounds really ridiculous, okay? But, you know, Super Bowl is coming up pretty soon. And I tell you, I hate this one team. I mean, I hate this team with passion. It's the Patriots. And, I don't even know these guys. I have no interaction with them whatsoever, except for TV once in a while. But there is so much, like, stuff in my heart. I'm a sinner. You know, I'm the chief of sinners. And even for me to say one nice thing about Tom Brady, impossible. I mean, impossible to do. But see, that's the whole thing. I can't do it in my own strength. But God put the love that he has for the Son inside of me. And so I can love the Patriots. I know that sounds ridiculous. It's the only thing that comes to my mind. It's early in the morning. All right, no food, sorry. But really, you can love your enemies because it's not your love. See, that's where I think we kind of mess up a little bit. We try to do it on our own strength. God put his love that he has for his Son, and Jesus' heart was, Lord, put it in them. I pray this, Lord, put it in me. Just shove it inside of me. You know, I know sometimes it doesn't fit, but just shove that love inside of me, God. Even if I'm resistant, just put that love inside of me because he's also inside of me. So let's close our eyes. Brothers and sisters, who do you need to love today? Maybe you need to love yourself. I'm sure there's a handful of you that you're just really down on yourself. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want to suggest to you there's three commandments there. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. But not love yourself like in a vain, glorious way. But love yourself in the sense that God created you in his image. And so maybe you need God's love for yourself to be erupted. Maybe for others, there's somebody in your life that you need God's power to love them. Listen, he put it in you. He did. He put it in you. If you notice through the Bible, God has always answered Jesus' prayer. Always. And so love that he had for the Son, he put it inside of you. So it's there. You have to draw it out now. Maybe there's someone that's causing you harm, and you hear the Lord saying, love your enemies. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let him just love you and challenge you to love the way God loves. Thank you. Let's pray this morning. Friends, God has given you an incredible capacity to love. An incredible capacity to forgive. God's love, the love that the Father had for the Son, is inside of us. Maybe today you need to pray, Lord, put more inside of me. I need more capacity, God. That's a righteous prayer. Let's pray. For some of you guys that are here at this time, just pray. People may be giving you some difficulties, people you need to forgive, people you just feel like you need to love more. I feel like God's really giving us a grace today to really pray for that individual, pray for that person. And as you do that, as you lift up your voice to the Lord, Holy Spirit's going to just pour the love of the Father inside of you for that person. So just spend another moment, and if there's anyone that you know you need to forgive, or someone that you just need to love more, like you just know, I just need to love this person more, just lift your voice up. Just watch what Holy Spirit does as He puts the love of the Father inside of you. Let's spend a little moment. Let's just pray together. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our community that's battling cancer and going through chemotherapy. Let's ask Holy Spirit to just really pour His love upon them and bring that healing word in their life. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that's battling illness, but also they need to meet with Jesus. And let's pray that Jesus would reveal Himself to them and that He would touch them in their illness. And let's lift up. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus, and today let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up this country before the Lord. Let's pray for grace and their ministry at Bloom. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to continue to encourage her, to use her, that she would just speak words of life to those ladies working there. Let's just lift up the country and our friend. Let's pray for our IP Well and Cascade teams. Pray for our leaders in these ministries and our volunteers that serve so graciously. Pray for His anointing. Pray for protection. Pray as they pray or as they minister that real Holy Spirit power would flow through them. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for our kids and teachers and Noah's Ark and SP Youth and SPU. Let's pray Holy Spirit would touch our young people and be with our pastors and our teachers, and just really use them and anoint them to really bring our kids into an experience with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Let's pray for our Thursday outreaches tonight, SP Lights and the Homeless Outreach. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us, and especially as a team is fasting, that there will be a real anointing and strength to do the work. Let's pray for House Church meeting tonight, Robin Hood, Elements, and Olympic. Let's pray for a real Spirit-filled, anointed time. Bless the leaders and the hosts, and that people would come and really have a meaningful time tonight. Let's pray for Jackie Lamb, East Enders House Church. Let's pray for the ability to be a greater light in darker places. Pray they be a better husband, father, and son for the Lamb clan extension and for family salvation. Let's lift up Jackie and his family. Let's pray for Betty at EastEnders. Let's pray to experience more of God's presence, family's health, safety, and salvation, and wisdom and strength at work. Now let's lift up Betty. Let's pray for Marcus from EastEnders as well. Let's pray for wisdom and strength in leading the household, health and safety for Audrey and the incoming baby, and protection over Sister Janice in New York. Let's lift up Marcus and his family. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. God, you accomplished everything you need to do on earth, Lord. And now you pass the baton to us, God. But we're not doing it alone, Lord. God, you're in us. The Father is in us. The Son, the Spirit is in us, God. And Lord, you've empowered us to be in the world, God, but not of the world. So help us. Help us live that radical middle, God, of being shrewd as serpents, but yet gentle as doves, God. And Lord, we thank you that for the love that you put inside of us, Lord. Lord, in us, God, is a great capacity for so much, for power, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And your love, that you love the Son, is in us, God. Lord, there's great capacity within us, God. And we pray, Lord, this year, draw it out of us, Lord. God, draw it out of us, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us today, God, as you draw out your love and your power to everyone we meet, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and have a great day today.